How many people have lists that look a little bit like that? I got a few. Well, this is a new year, and so we want to try something different. Maybe the last time we ever try this. This might be the one and only time
you get
to witness it. So we thought this New Year's Eve we would start with a conversation. When you talk in a conversation, it's just different, right? You talk in a different tone. You talk about things that's a little more informal. Both Noah and I tend to be notes people. You probably notice when we preach, we have notes. I like to know exactly what I've thought through and want to say things accurately. So there's a little anxiety with both Noah and I today that we just want to sit here and invite you into a conversation around the New Year's, around resolutions, around thoughts about this. It's meant to be unscripted. That's why I should probably warn them to delay the live stream a little bit in case we have to edit out any parts that maybe shouldn't go live. So if you're watching live, show us a little grace as well. But we too desire just to have a conversation be unscripted. We did meet on Thursday just to see if we had some similar thoughts. And we had such similar thoughts that actually this is a picture of when we showed up in the office on Thursday. So we are coordinated, and we're ready for this today. But we just want to sit here and just spend a little time with you talking, hopefully engaging, and thinking a little bit about what is coming this year. So I've got our questions right there. In case you haven't met Noah is our newest staff, even though it's almost coming up on a half a year now.
Yeah.
We're rounding
That's
the
wild.
Quarter. Noah is our next-gen director, next-generation director, and so he's been getting to know our students over these last months and also working with the kids' ministry staff, which is a wild and fun ride with all the kids and the staff there. And so we're just going to sit down, and you'll get to know him a little bit more in this informal way as well. So we'll start off with this question, Noah. Are you normally a resolution kind of person this time of year?
No.
No.
Because if I set resolutions for myself, they would be specific, like, I want to cut out sugar entirely. And then the moment I had sugar, I would just devour an entire bag of Reese's treats or whatever. But I do set goals, so I'm a goal setter, and I like to, if I were to say eat healthier, that's broad enough that if I were to eat unhealthily once, you know, just three healthy meals and five unhealthy meals is maybe healthier than what it was. So not necessarily like I'm going to go to the gym every day kind of a resolution guy, but I do think it's unique that this time of year, all of us tend to step back and look at the things that we want to change in our lives. So I do take time to reflect every new year on the things that I'm either really happy with and thankful for, or the things that I would love to see change.
Sure.
So what about you?
Oh, resolutions. That list really resonates with me. Growing up, my family would actually book a hotel. And we would go and stay in a hotel, hopefully with a pool. That was the big hit for my sister and I. And our parents would bring like a whiteboard type of thing, and we would do plans together. And I did not like that at all. My sister and the rest of my family loved it. I was kind of the odd person. But later in life, I love sitting quiet, thinking, dreaming about what this year might have in store, actually setting out goals, thinking through the right pace, getting it all on paper, and starting off with a great bang, and then about 2 or 3 weeks later, just kind of this, you know, dive off. But I love the fresh start of things, just not so good on the long-term things. So I do love resolutions, but I tend to wad them up and throw them by the end of the year.
I couldn't write them down. I'd freak myself out looking at the list every day.
And I'm the big picture guy. I'm supposed to help the staff plan for the year. We got problems, don't we? Noah, do you have any, have you had any kind of resolution failures, kind of epic failures over the years?
I picked one that isn't terribly embarrassing for me because I can blame it on Jesus and not myself.
No, that's good.
In 2020, Ezra was about to be born. Danelle was super pregnant, so his birthday is right at the beginning of February. And if you get to know me at all, one of the things I'm guilty of often in youth ministry is jumping on a soapbox about a topic that I'm really passionate about. And one of those topics is social media and how much I dislike social media. So in 2020, I resolved right at the beginning of the year that I was going to delete all of my social media. And I did. There wasn't a whole lot there to delete, but Facebook does this thing where like you deactivate instead of delete. It's like almost hard to get off Facebook. And then COVID hit. and I needed to do the online Facebook monitoring for my church. So I did quit social media, but it's Jesus' fault that I had to go back onto social media to do a church thing. So I did not successfully. Facebook is still active.
We can spiritualize anything, can't we? It's just our tendency.
Had to do church on social media, man.
Oh, well, the epic failure, I have a long list, so I had to kind of go through and decide which one to share with you all this morning. I was thinking in college when I think my eyes were opened for the first time to discipleship. I went to a Christian college in Iowa, and even though I'd grown up in the church, there were these guys that lived in the dorm that just lived a little more radically than I'd ever seen. And it really inspired me to want to grow. It was a big growth season in my life. And some of the practices that they did was to journal. And so I was convicted, I need to journal. Because they were able to look back and see what God had done in their life. They could read their journal entries. I thought, that is the coolest thing. And so I started, this is 2003. I started a journal. I'm sorry, 1993. I wish I was in college in 2003. 1993, I started this journal, and I got to write there. And so 1994, I think this is 95 or 96, and I just brought a few samples from my pages, from my thing there. And that's kind of what happened with my journals. A quick start, wrote some things down, but here's the interesting thing. I opened these up this week, and they tended to be around like the end of December. I would set out this goal of journaling a little bit more. But looking back, God walked me through some really significant seasons of loss and gains and changes in my life. And I was able to kind of, even though they were much smaller sections than I had hoped for, to see some of the movements that God's had in my life. But epic failure in how many times I've started, ended the journaling phase of my life as well.
So. Was there one of those that really jumped out or stuck with you?
Yes. Yeah, there was. That wasn't on the script. I don't have any of these thought through at all. I did. I read one of these, and I think it was this one right here. Was during a season of pretty significant loss in my life, both of a dating relationship and my father's cancer. And so it was during that time that I started to kind of question, God, are you real? And if you're real, are you good? And so I wrote through that season. I went backpacking on my own and just asked these questions for a few days, just sitting in those. And I did record that moment, and I'm happy that I did to see how God's worked through that.
So, yeah. Sorry to throw you off script.
No, that's okay. That's good. They're thankful, I think. We'll see. So, how about a resolution or a goal that was actually successful in your life?
Yeah. Seeing as I'm not a resolution person, one of the things that this has more to do with my birthday. On my birthday every year, I look back at the previous year and I just think, man, I was so stupid last year. And that's just a sign that I at least grew a little bit over the course of the year. So one of the things that I can phrase that as keep growing, not don't be stupid, and that sounds a lot better. But every year I would love to keep growing, and one of the things about being able to look back and see those places where maybe I've experienced something new, or I've changed, I've formed a new habit, prioritized family differently. So those kinds of wins, those tangible ones where you can look back and see, we do this now. And one of those that's been really significant for me that I'm actually resolving to hopefully change again this year is, working in a church is weird and unique. Getting up here and speaking as if I have some kind of authority that you don't feels weird to me. We are all people who are indwelt with the Spirit of the living God. So when I come to work, part of what's built into my day is devotions. I get into my office and I sit and I pray and I can read scripture. But that was a win. That was a resolution that I resolved to do probably 5 or 6 years ago when I started working in a church. The thing that's needing to change now is that's habitual for me, and I do it at work and not at home. So there's a win there and another resolution for this year. I cheated and jumped ahead of questions. So.
That's okay.
Any big wins for you?
Yeah, this list is shorter, seems like. I think it'd be longer after all these years, right? I was I was influenced significantly. I love an author who just died this last year, Eugene Peterson. Did The Message, if you've read that translation, kind of a contemporary version. And he talked about spiritual practices being tools in the toolbox that you grab, and you know which one to go to when you need to change something in your life. So you grab different tools, and God uses those to form your life spiritually. And over the years, some of the ones that have been a little bit more natural for me, because I'm a reader and I love to think, I love to process, things like scripture reading, those are the ones that come more naturally to me. I'm an introvert, so the quiet and the solitude, I love getting out in nature and just being alone and quiet. And so those practices are pretty easy for me. But the one, and maybe you relate to this, that is probably the most difficult over the years has been prayer. And I've been convicted. That's probably half of what is actually written in here is some kind of a resolution around prayer. And even though there was great seasons in my life, it just seemed like I would get, you know, in a good rhythm, and then it would go away pretty quickly. And so prayer has been one that has been a really difficult spiritual practice for me to be consistent. So about at the end of 2018, actually, so this is my successful one. These unsuccessful, this successful right here. I started a prayer journal, something I had done in the past, but just keeping track of prayer requests. So many of you, I look out prayer requests that you've given me over the years, children you're praying for that maybe have walked away from Christ, illnesses that you've been going through, things that God's been challenging me to write those in here. And now over almost 4 years to be able to go back and to see, I just this week just flipped through there and there's like answer. Oh, here's one I'm still waiting for God to answer, and that's okay, right? Keep praying for that. Answer. And just to be overwhelmed that God answers prayer. And if I hadn't done that, I would miss that God has answered so many prayers, and yet he's still asking me to pray for some other ones. And so to be able to watch that, there's little scripture passages in here that I write, and then just prayers. And because I had that experience, right? I tell you, I'll pray for something, and I want to, but if I don't write it down, I forget, right? So this has helped me just to stay in that rhythm, not always perfectly, but just to stay in that rhythm of always thinking, what is God asking me to trust in him and lift up in prayer?
Yeah. And then our fourth question was rather open-ended, and I figure I'll throw that at you first. We just wanted to talk about some of the resolutions we've made personally and some of the resolutions or the hopes and the dreams that we have in ministry or professionally with what we do here at Remembrance. So I'll put you right back on the spot.
Oh, I get to start first, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I was having fun reacting to whatever you said.
My turn.
That's good.
Any personal resolutions this year?
All right, so I was sitting this week in this, and this is my year to turn 50. So in May, I'll be turning 50. So to some of you, that sounds really young. And then some of you are going, man, he is. Because I remember when I was a kid thinking my dad was really old at 50, right? But 50 is one of those years, right? It's you've been doing something long enough, and you've seen enough life, and yet you wonder, what does this other season look like? And so some of the reflections on that my father died in his late 50s, so I was 20 when my dad died in college. And so this is a little bit uncharted territory if I live a little bit longer than my dad, God willing, who knows what God has planned for me. But I haven't seen that modeled in the same way as I had before that. And I work in care ministry a lot, so I do a lot of funerals. And every time I get to sit with a family and talk, that word legacy comes up, right? What legacy are we leaving? I just got to do one with the Wilhauer family on Barb, in which her legacy was one very clearly, very boldly, like, no Christ. And she lived that way. And you see that through her kids and her grandkids and her great-grandkids, to the point where the whole family at her funeral was able to say, we know Jesus. And grandma was a big part of that. And so that legacy part, like, what does God have for me now that I'm switching that decade over to a 50? What kind of a legacy, if God took me now or if there were many years left, what kind of a legacy would I be leaving? And the word that came to mind is, am I being intentional? In my personal life, and we'll get to spirit our ministry later, but in my personal life, am I intentional? I have a college student, a high school student, and an elementary student. That was great planning, right? Am I being intentional in those relationships? Am I intentional in the relationships, the friendships I have, the spiritual relationships I have? Am I using that time in a way that leaves something that would be identified as a legacy in their life. And that's been what's been on my mind a little bit. How about you?
Yeah, similar. I think when we reflect on priorities, the true answer for me is always what I want to prioritize, God and family, and then sharing the gospel, ministry. And one of the things, sorry, that's on me. One of the things that I've wanted to do better over the course of my time working in churches is not sacrifice my family on the altar of ministry. So one of my personal resolutions was to like cut myself off at a certain point, because there's always more work to be done, and there's this idea that if somehow you work harder, God is going to move more, and that's a really faithless interpretation, I think, of how God works and how ministry works. So one of my resolutions for this year was to prioritize family, and then Ezra is turning 3 in a few weeks, and thinking about the way that we live our lives and the way that he perceives the way we live our lives. I want Ezra to grow up knowing without a doubt why we live the way we do, why we have people over and why we talk about the things we talk about, and why we think it's more important to give gifts than receive them, and things like that. And the why is Jesus. So one of my resolutions for this year personally was not just moving devotions from church to home, but also finding a way to continue to do ministry to my family first, and then continue to live into this call in a healthy way.
If I remember right, that was one of your promises as you started the new job, right? I should bring Danelle up and ask, how's he doing with that, Danelle? Is he doing pretty good? Yeah, and that's hard, right? In all of our jobs, we can always do more, right? There's always more to do, and to know when to say enough is enough, and be present with our family. That's important. Yeah.
How about ministry then?
Ministry.
This is the fun question. This is where we both accidentally turn this into a real sermon.
Scripture's bound to come out someplace. Huh? Yeah, we should have some of you come up and ask us how we're doing in ministry, right? Ministry. Same word for me, intentional. With becoming 50, this is my... In 1992, I started in camp ministry, so that was my beginning of ministry, and the little bit that I recorded during that time that I could look back, I mean, I don't think I ever would have pictured being here in this place for the 14th year. This is the 14th year to be part of the Remembrance family, and you don't picture those things when you're starting off so young. And so to think of ministry. And I always heard this phrase, it's a marathon, right, not a sprint, and yet we often act like life is a sprint, and we're frantically running to the next thing. And so that intentional pacing, a sustainable life, for me, I realized even in this last year, as some of my job description changed and has kind of some more leadership details to it, is the tendency that in the busyness, it's the relationships that can kind of go away the most quickly. Because relationships take time, right? It takes 14 years to build 14 years of relationships. It takes time to sit, and yet that's the real beauty and the real joy of ministry is when we get to know each other and live life together as a family. And so that's one thing I realized is that in the busyness, that's because it's not fast, is those relationships can just kind of fall off the radar a little more quickly. And yet that's not the kind of legacy that I would want to leave. How about you? What are some ministry goals?
Oh man, this is, I fully anticipated that this would be my favorite question of the four. Because learning a new church is equal parts exciting and difficult. Figuring out the things that our students are passionate about or gifted in is fantastic and overwhelming and all sorts of exciting. So I've really enjoyed and struggled through the last 6 months to feel like I'm getting up to speed. But in good West Michigan preacher fashion, I found 3 words that alliterate. They all start with W. So the things that I want to focus on in Next Gen Ministry at Remembrance, who, why, and wonder. And One of the things that I've noticed over the past couple of years, especially with COVID, COVID was this strange thing where it kind of stripped or poked at everybody's identity. Even adults who find their identity in their work, maybe, or their productivity, but especially students, where all of a sudden identity became this nebulous thing that was primarily online. COVID threatened our identity, and helping students to understand or recognize their identity as beloved sons and daughters of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ is something that I am incredibly passionate about in Next Gen Ministry. The wonder, the why is Jesus, the why is always Jesus. So that's a cheating, that's the Sunday school answer. But the wonder is maybe a personal resolution as well. Every Christmas season, we remember Jesus' birth. And just a week ago, we celebrated the most significant gift that this world has ever been given, and we affirm that. That is our life. Without the birth of Jesus Christ, there would be no gospel. And I'm always moved when I celebrate that around Christmas time. But it's been a week, and already that wonder has started to fade. So one of my hopes, one of my goals, one of the things that I want to continue to try and thrust in front of our students and our parents and our children is the absolute insanity, how incredible the gift of the gospel is. When I was a young kid, 2001, Razer released the kick scooter for the first time. I almost brought it here to show it to all of you. But the commercials for that were the most ridiculous thing in the world. It was some dude doing backflips, and I was convinced that if I just got this scooter, I would ride it. It would be the best gift. I'd ride it every day. And I snuck out of my room on Christmas Eve with a light bright, if you're old enough to remember what that is, and I plugged it in under the tree so I could shine it, and I saw this long rectangular box, and I lost my mind because it was the best gift in the world. And I rode that scooter every day for a week. And then I rode it maybe once or twice a month. And eventually, I went to find that scooter, and I was going to bring it here today, but it was so rusty I felt bad dragging it out of its hole in the barn. Growing up as a Christian in West Michigan, the gospel was something that was so normalized for me. I was used to hearing the words, "Jesus died for you." And at some point, and I don't know when, the knowledge or the reality that the God of the universe, who exists outside of time, looked through the scope of the creation, saw us right now, Remembrance Church, and went, "You are worthy of the life of my son." And that news should explode our minds. We should just weep or dance or jump or lift our hands slightly above our waist at the risk of being called Pentecostal. But I don't know what happened to me where the goodness of that gospel wasn't something that every day I woke up and marveled at again. So one of my resolutions for this year was to focus on that wonder, to find a way to reframe or reprioritize or see in a new way, ever new way, the goodness that is the gospel. And it's not an obligatory thing. I think a lot of people, when they hear that, assume that there's some, now that we, you know, you have to do these things. So much of what the Christian life is just an overflowing of the wonder that exists when we come face to face with the risen Christ. And I don't know how to manufacture that. I don't even think I can. That's got to be a God thing. But as much as I can, I'd love to facilitate a place, a ministry, where we are always amazed at the goodness of the gift that we've been given. Hmm. So I don't want the gospel to be on a shelf or in a barn like a scooter. That's one of my resolutions for ministry.
I love that. Yeah, when I started off in camp ministry, and you know, you have 1 week with kids, right? Mm. And which is such a blessing. But church ministry is much different. We're together 52 weeks a year, learning to do things as a family. And there's so much joy in that because we do the rhythms of life. Camp is, you know, the mountaintop experience, but we get to do the valleys, the mountaintops. We get to do it all together. I was reminded, kind of re-engaged when I felt called into ministry after a mission trip my freshman year of college. A life verse that I claimed at that point was Paul was speaking to the church, the Philippian church, and he was praying for them. And this is the verse that came to me. I wrote down, I had this old, dusty, horrible-looking couch in my dorm room, and I wrote it down at that point, Philippians 1, 9 through 10. And he says, "This is my prayer for you, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that you might be able to discern what is best, maybe pure and blameless until the day of Christ." I think we stay in our strengths more often than push ourselves in our weaknesses. And so the strength of that, my natural bent is to think of the knowledge and the depth of insight. I love that. I love reading something new. I love having a new experience. I love going and trying something. I love learning. I love growing, all those type of things. And that's a natural bent for me. And so when I tend to do resolutions, I think of those things. What books should I read this year? What things should I memorize? What, you know, and I get the list of like this knowledge and depth of insight. And yet that prayer from Paul always flips that around for me and says, "But I pray that your love may abound more and more as we grow in knowledge, as we have a depth of insight." And so those things are not an end to themselves. Those things I'm learning need to be translated into an action of love that's outward. It's people, loving people, learning to serve people, my family, my church family, others around me, my neighbors. And so that's been the challenge in my life, even just thinking about today, is learning to put those things that I naturally do, but turn them into the love that God intends them in my life.
Yeah. If you had one enormous takeaway, because we've been a little all over the place this morning, but that's okay. We're trying. If you had one big takeaway that you wanted people to hear, either hopeful for Remembrance Church or just a challenge, what would that be?
Do you want to start first? Or do you
I can go first.
You go first.
I loved Peterson as well. Eugene Peterson was incredibly influential in my life, and I like the idea of solitude and silence more than I practice it. But one of the other scholars, I mentioned him when I preached first here, Henry Nouwen, wrote a book called The Life of the Beloved, and it was maybe the second most influential book I've ever read. So here's the scripture that I want you to hear this morning. Oop, I cheated and went all the way to Ephesians. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." You, Remembrance Church, are the beloved sons and daughters of God. You are co-heirs with the risen Christ. This is immeasurably good news. And an encounter with the risen Christ and that knowledge should change the way that we live, the things that we prioritize, and the way that we love one another. And especially because I'm biased in next-gen stuff, our children. So go with the knowledge that you are God's beloved children. And then out of the love and the gratitude that you have for that beautiful news, love others and love them well.
I love that. I had already started down mine with the Philippians 1, 9 through 10, but just sitting here listening to Noah, I don't know what you're like, but I tend to focus on what I failed at, and those things stick. So let's just put this back in this bag over here. Let's give it a taste. Right?
Healthy.
Came, put it in the bag, right? Isn't it easy to focus on the things that we didn't quite hit? Maybe the resolutions from last year, the things that we want to do in our life, the prayer life we want, the scripture reading life. Those are the goals that we set out as a church this last year, and we saw movement in that. But I tend to think not so much about how I grew and what I gained is what I didn't do. And that's what I love, the powerful image of a new year. And even this morning as I was sitting in this dark room praying, it's just a reminder of the newness that God gives us all the time. You know, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. You use words like clean, white as snow. It removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. The language that we have of God is a God as a fresh start, and that through confession, coming to Him, that He forgives all of our sins, all of our failures, all of the things that we wanted to do and didn't quite do. And the beauty of it, and this is what actually struck me, is I was looking back at, I left my Bible down there. Can I borrow yours?
Yeah,
is that all right?
Of course.
I was looking at that Philippians passage, and I was looking at the context, and I didn't initially memorize verse 11 after 9 and 10, which is my theme verse. And I just thought it was interesting. I was reading through that this morning. You know, this is my prayer for you, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, that you might be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. That fruit of righteousness, right? Fruit is something that happens slowly. It doesn't flip a switch and you got fruit. Fruit is something that grows in our life, filled with the fruit of righteousness. And we know in our beautiful tradition, we're reminded all the time that our righteousness is not something that we muster up. It's something that God lays on us. He gives it to us. He imputes it on us and gives it to us. And so this fruit of righteousness is something that God is doing in my life through the work of His Spirit. It's not based on how much I can muster up. Thank goodness, because then I'll just have a whole string of journals that are only half entered into. And that's the goodness of God, is that He's the one that gives us the power to live the life that He's calling us to. And it's not based on how much strength, how much knowledge, how much goodness I have in my own life, but solely on the work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Any other thoughts?
Jesus loves you.
Let's do this. Let's take a moment and let's just pray. And there's people watching online as well. And just pray. I think the encouragement is to be intentional, to think through. An article popped up this morning and said, why New Year's resolutions fail. And it said, because you're set now to do a year at a time. And there was this whole organization called Monday Campaigns. And they said, really, if you want something to last, you got to set out to do it every Monday instead. So Monday, right after we worship together, is set out. What is it that God wants you to do? How does He want you to live? How does He want you to grow in who He is, to experience Him, to connect, to grow, to serve, and to reach the things that we talk about here all the time, what it means to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus, who is able then to go and make other fully devoted followers of Jesus. How about we just pray over the congregation? I'll let you start, and we'll just pray a blessing over you, and that God will be very clear in how He's calling you to grow this year.
Yeah. Holy Father, Son, and Spirit, we give you thanks for Remembrance Church and for new years and new mercies and your grace and the gift of your Son, Jesus. I pray that as we walk into this new year, this new opportunity, you would strengthen your body here. I pray that you would give us the courage to proclaim your name boldly in a world that desperately needs to hear the good news of the gospel. I pray that you would encourage us, encourage those of us who need that encouragement to be brave and press into those places where we might be weak so that we might grow. But most of all, Lord, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this body that desires to know you, and I'm excited to be a part of something that is greater than just us. We love you, Lord.
Father, I thank you for this family of faith. This is my family. And you've called us together. There's probably guests in the room or guests that are watching and get to be part of this family today. And I just want to thank you that you've called us here, that we get to gather together on a Sunday and look to your word and pray together and sing songs of worship. We get to do life together. We get to come on Wednesdays with our families, all kinds of ways in which we serve and do mission trips together. There's so much that you do here in this family. And so I just want to praise you for this church family. And I just pray that in this new year, we know that there are challenges and joys ahead that we're not even beginning to expect yet. And so, Lord, I pray that in preparation for those things, so that they give glory to you in every way, that you would just strengthen us. I pray your blessing over this family, that you would sink your word deeply into their hearts, that they would know your sure and true promises in your word. And I pray that by the power of your spirit that you would grow them and give them the righteousness that we begin to see the fruit of that in each other's lives. Father, I pray that you'd bless families and jobs and relationships with neighbors and coworkers and friends and the fellow students, Lord, that from this experience that we gather together, that, Lord, you would send us out into this world to be a blessing. And so, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you especially for the gift of your Son dying on the cross for us, that we inherit everything. You are so good. We love you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you guys for sharing. Thank you for being vulnerable. I found that very encouraging. I hope you did as well. I can't imagine going on a mic unscripted for 30 minutes. I would probably say something that would make a lot of people upset. So, but we're going to sing this last song, Cornerstone. We all know it well, but let's close out this service with worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our cornerstone, and he will continue to be our cornerstone through 2023. So let's sing it. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love through the storm.
Lord of all. Cornerstone.